This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
And don't forget, we're keeping track of everything for you, including the Lakers losing yesterday afternoon, the Bruins getting beat on a buzzer beater on Saturday in the national semifinal. We've got the national championship game for you here tonight, and Dodgers versus A's after taking 3 out of 4. All that's going on. But right now is where we talk about a bunch of other stuff in Fast Track. It's brought to you by friends at Puente Hills Toyota. Find out why Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. All right, one side of the coin, John, is when we get together in 3 months to play our golf tournament and I get 53 strokes, I win. On the other side of the coin, you do. Call it in the air.
Oh, I'm winning. I'm going to find a will to win no matter how many strokes you get. Jorge,
yeah,
who wins?
John wins.
Yeah. You don't bring that attitude to Travis, but you're bringing it to me.
Travis is much better than you at golf. All right. I will go first. No advantage comes with that.
None at all.
Mace, I don't know if you caught any of Shohei Ohtani last night on Sunday Night Baseball.
Yeah.
But this guy was unbelievable. He had the fastest pitch by any starting pitcher over the weekend. He threw 101 miles an hour. And he had the hardest hit home run by any player this opening weekend, 115 mile per hour exit velocity. He got hurt when he was covering home plate on a wild throw, but it looks like he's okay. So obviously this guy is a huge weapon.
Yep.
I just want him to make it through the season without getting hurt. So here's my question. What is the smartest way to use Ohtani? Maybe pitch him only once a week, give him guaranteed off days the day after he pitches, just play it by ear. Joe Maddon, the manager of the Angels, is not a conventional guy, so he'll try anything. So if Maddon asked you, what would be your plan on how to use Ohtani this season?
I would give him the day off the day after he starts and hits.
By the way, Jorge has the call home run, which was one pitch, the very first pitch he saw. Maddon batted him second, so he was the starting pitcher, and he batted second against the White Sox. And here's what he did the very first time he saw a pitch.
And the pitch. Swing and a ball hammer. Right field. Way back. On its way. Gone! Shohei Ohtani wasting no time. Absolutely tomahawking a fastball at the top edge of the zone. 115.2 miles an hour and went 450 to right center. Angels won. White Sox nothing. Shohei goes yard.
Man, Mace, this guy really does have a chance to be like a Babe Ruth type.
Oh, a
character.
Historic player. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So you'd give him today off since he pitched last night.
Yes.
Maddon said he might DH him, and then he kind of changed his mindset. I think we give him the day off. And then other than that, would you play him every day, including up until the day before he pitches?
Yeah, I'd hit him. The only day I'd give him off is the day after he pitches. By the way, we have the play at the plate where he got dinged up a little bit.
This looked bad. What did you play that, Jorge?
And the pitch. Swing and a miss. It gets away from Stassi. He goes and tracks it down. Throw to first, and it gets away from Walsh. One run is in. Here comes Abreu. He scores. We're tied. How do you like that?
Oh, no.
And Abreu collided with Ohtani at home plate as he was covering the dish. And that is about the last thing that the Angels need there. Oh, boy.
Expected to be minor. It was not serious. He got spiked a little bit, dinged up a little bit at that on that play. But he's not expected to miss any time. But, I say day off after every start that he makes as a pitcher. That's how I would handle it.
All right, it's to you.
All right, according to Pew Research, 7% of Americans never use the internet. Many by choice.
Come on.
Today, 25%, now think about this a little bit, 25% of adults 65 and older report having never been online. How long could you actually survive? How long can a person survive without the internet in 2021?
0 days. 0 days. I'm not going without the internet. It's too big of a part of my life. It's how I stay connected to the world. I'm not going without the internet. Screw that. Could you go without? Well, you claim, I remember once you said, all right, I'm going to a place where we're going to take mud baths. Me and Juan are going. We're completely disconnecting electronically for a week. I go, wow.
And we did.
That's a big challenge. You're so full of it. So then, literally, I tell that story on the air on Monday. You left on a, you did a show Friday. You said, I'm going to be completely electronically disconnected for a week. And I tell that story in the air. And Ramona, who is filling in for you, says, I swear to God, he just responded to a fantasy baseball trade I made 10 minutes ago. Completely lied.
Well, you know, here's what's funny about that. So I'm going to, all my podcast stuff is out of the way. I released the Jay Leno podcast today, and there's one coming out on Wednesday. No podcast coming out next week. And the only thing I need to be online for is my fantasy baseball league. And so I vow that I will be electronically disconnected except for my fantasy baseball league.
But that's cheating. Once you open the door to check your fantasy baseball trades, you start getting your texts and your emails and your headlines of Sam Darnold just got traded, and you click on it. So you either got to go, you either got to say I'm all
out.
I
can't give up my fantasy baseball team, and it's too much for me. Right, it's too much for me. It's to you.
Fast Track.
All right, you and I both love Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
And it has a long history of producing some people that have gone on to much bigger things. Matter of fact, you just said off the air that you did a podcast with Lorraine Newman.
Yeah, Lorraine Newman from the original cast I did a show with earlier this morning. It'll come out week after next. She was great. Yeah. She was great.
Okay, so I don't know if you knew this, but one of the people that came out of the SNL tree is Bob Odenkirk.
Oh, yeah.
Who worked there as a writer for 4 years before going on to play Saul Goodman on Breaking Bad and now Better Call Saul. Odenkirk was on with Howard Stern last week, and he says his biggest professional regret is that he was a jerk to Lorne Michaels, his boss who created the show.
Wow.
Listen to how Odenkirk talks about that time in his life now.
It's an institution, and it needs to show up every Saturday night and serve the whole country. And it was just transitioning into that show when I got hired there. And I just didn't get on board, man. And I was a dick to Lorne, and I sat in the back of the room and made wisecracks. And during meetings, he's trying to run a friggin' meeting and get a damn show up on Saturday night. And here's this asshole who should be a waiter in Chicago making wisecracks out of the side of his mouth, going, that scene sucked.
I'm sure you cringe when you think of yourself sitting there with Lorne, who would have been a good ally, actually. Who would
Absolutely.
Have been a guy
he loves
you could
great
have learned
writing.
From. Right.
Oh, and Lorne really loves really great writing and great writers, and he supports them. Hey, he let me stay there for 4 years. That's crazy. This a**hole making wisecracks and not really contributing much.
So I was fascinated by that. Do you, when you hear that, do you have any huge professional regrets? I'll give you one.
Give me yours.
And you were involved in it. You and I, and we were just a little early to the party, both dumped pretty significant money into internet radio. Into this thing called the Cyprus Radio Network.
Yep.
And you and I both said, hey, let's get in on the ground floor. And we invested in it early. We both had a bunch of stock. You actually did a show for the network.
I did do a show.
And we got bamboozled a little bit by the guy who did
A lot. We got bamboozled a lot.
And it was just if I had that to do over, I would do it. That's what popped into my head. How about you?
I regret jumping over that bar when we were doing that show at Fox Sports West 2.
Well, because you have a reminder of it daily now. What do you have, like pins and screws? What do you got?
Yeah, 9 screws and a plate, and I still feel it. In fact, I'm feeling it more now than I used to feel it, so I'm sure it's going to be a thing as I get older. But I do regret that. It also sort of derailed a really good run I was on in my career. It led to me going to New York. It was all part of one big thing. I broke my foot, went to New York, broke my foot, then took the job and went to New York. So I view that all as one big thing. I'd like to have my right foot back.
It sounds like you'd like to have like those 2 months back.
Those two months. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Those 2 months.
Okay, it's all to right. you.
It's to Fast me. Track. I got time for one more. Skip Bayless, who works for Fox, watched the UCLA-Gonzaga game, and like the rest of us, but he's got a different take. After the game, he tweeted, "No idea how you can call that an all-time great college basketball game when it was won by a lucky shot." Now, Bayless got lit up on social media. What is it with this guy? Can't he enjoy a basketball game without taking a contrarian opinion for the F of it?
I've told this story before. I went back and filled in on First Take for a week, even without you. I went back and did it for a week, and then you and I went back and did it for... We've been back there a lot to do First Take.
Yeah.
And one time, I was basically where Shannon is now. I was one-on-one opposite against Skip for a week.
Yep.
And for people that get mad at Skip Bayless, like I think you said he got lit up on the internet.
Yep.
That's exactly what Skip is going for. He is one of the smartest, most, he works the system better than anybody. When I was back there, he would literally say, "Hey, let's let John get in something that makes sense here, and I will take the other side." And I couldn't believe sometimes when he did it, but that's what Skip is great at, being a lightning rod. And by the way, he was great to me back there. He took care of me, made sure that I did everything. But I think he knew exactly what he was saying when
Excuse me, boys. It's
Hi, Amanda.
10 after 2 o'clock. I believe that means it's time to wrap.
Yes, it is. We were
I believe part of the agreement in letting you guys bring this back was that you had to break on time.
Amanda, by the way, belated happy birthday.
I think we're right on time.
I mean, it's 2:10, 18, 19, 20. Wow. Okay. And the longer we do this, you know.
So, yeah, the longer. Well, I mean, obviously now you're sort of occupying some of our time, so I think that we should get that time back.
Okay, that's fair.
But thank, and happy birthday, yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, Amanda, you don't look a day older.
Thanks.
That.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next for you, Dodgers look great this weekend. They play the A's again tonight, but let's circle back to the moment of the weekend, which is the buzzer beater. Jalen Suggs made the buzzer beater against UCLA, and we got a bunch of different versions of that call, which is always fun to do.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Based in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
And if you're just tuning in, the Jets get a second-round pick at 22 plus two other picks to build around Zach Wilson, who they will take in the draft. And Carolina gets Sam Darnold, 23 years old, still a lot of talent. I think can be a top-shelf quarterback in the National Football League. I love the trade for Carolina, and I think they're going to regret moving off of Sam Darnold.
I agree with you. I think Sam Darnold's going to do really well there. So let's see. You know?
We had the big buzzer beater on Saturday night. UCLA loses at the buzzer on an unbelievable shot from Jalen Suggs. And we've got a number of versions of this call. By the way, we'll have the national championship game for you tonight. Coverage starts at 5 o'clock, getting ready for the Zags versus Baylor. First of all, on this Jalen Suggs three-pointer to win. Here is Kevin Kugler on Westwood One.
7 seconds to go. 6 seconds. Juzang in the paint. Fadeaway. No. Got his own rebound. Slithers to the rim and lays it in. 3 seconds to go. We're tied at 90. Here comes Suggs. Long three for the win. Banks it home. Banks it home. Jalen Suggs. A deep banked three to send Gonzaga one step closer to history. Unbeaten Gonzaga comes up with the hero play of the year from the freshman, and they're one win away from an undefeated national championship.
Great call, Kevin Kugler on Westwood One. I believe he's doing the game, the championship game, a little bit later on tonight here on 710 ESPN. Now here, and I'm not sure why, we've got the Russian call. Now, can you imagine a reason that we would have a Russian call of the national semifinal?
No, but I want to hear it.
Yeah, here is the Russian call of the Jalen Suggs game winner.
Стоило это сделать с остановки. Флоутер недолет.
Сам
убирает,
забивает. 3 секунды. Ответы останавливаются.
Эллен Сакс центра на победу. Да ладно! Да ладно, он выиграл этот матч!
That was a great call.
Now, Jorge, do you by chance have the Gonzaga call?
No.
The Gonzaga call? Okay,
the Gonzaga call is the one where Adam Morrison is
right.
the analyst,
well, that's
right?
The story I was going to tell you. Adam Morrison's biggest heartbreak at Gonzaga was he lost. They blew a huge lead to UCLA in the Sweet 16. And there's a very famous shot of
crying
Adam Morrison weeping on the court that kind of followed him throughout his career. And it kind of became a meme that you know, that Morrison
before
was...
Before crying Jordan, there was crying
right,
Morrison.
There was crying Adam Morrison, and it followed him forever. And then, so fast forward, that was in, I think, 2006.
Yep.
So here's 15 years later, Adam Morrison is the Michael Thompson of the Gonzaga radio team. He's the color analyst for radio. So he was there calling that game the other night when all he does is scream a lot. But maybe that brings that whole thing full circle that Adam Morrison had, you know, he was associated. Matter of fact, Jordan Farmar, who was on the UCLA team that year, and Morrison became teammates on the Lakers. And Farmar hit a crazy running bank shot to keep UCLA in the game late. And he later told Morrison, I don't think I've ever made that shot before. I don't know how I banked that in. So it was like everything had to go right for UCLA, and it did. So in a strange kind of circuitous way, Gonzaga got UCLA back for what was one of the biggest, most devastating losses in Gonzaga history.
Yeah.
And now they handed one back to UCLA.
And the last one, I've got the Spanish call of the Jalen Suggs buzzer beater. Hit that one, Jorge.
Dunk, penetra en el centro, levanta el doble, falla el tiro, recoge el rebote y la pone. 29 puntos para Yusang, el triple en camino. Suggs! Oh, llegaron las 12 para la Cenicienta. Jalen Suggs con el triple en la chicharra le dice buenas noches a UCLA.
It's a great call.
It is.
It's a great call.
And by the way, we've been having this discussion throughout the day. Michael and I started it yesterday. I'm surprised Mason agrees with Michael. So does Lindsay.
That me and you, Michael often agree.
Yeah, that you guys would rather lose by 20 than lose the way UCLA did. I think you're out of your mind.
I just want blown out.
Here's just Johnny Juzang. Johnny Juzang after the game, you know, if you watch that play, after the game, UCLA doesn't go full Adam Morrison. They don't cry in the court. They actually got in a huddle, and they said, Juzang was asked after the game, what were you saying to each other in that huddle?
We weren't going to let anybody have their heads down. Everybody is so proud to play with each other and to play for these coaches. And, there's no other way. You know, we'd rather go out. We went out fighting. There's no better way. You know, there's no regrets. Just everybody fought to the last play, and, you know, the last shot is the last shot. But so grateful to call these guys teammates.
And, Mace, one of the things we're actually arguing about is would you rather have lost to Gonzaga like USC did?
Right.
In a game that was never close.
Right.
Or like UCLA did where you get your heart broken at the end. Do you really want to lose the way USC did?
Yeah, that's pain-free.
Why is it pain-free? You played like crap.
Yeah, but no, you got overwhelmed. You got overwhelmed by a clearly better team. To me, it's much easier to be SC and get blown out than it is to be UCLA and to lose it at the buzzer.
I literally don't see that even that side of the argument. I just think that what you want to do, John Wooden used to say, all you can do is play your best.
Right.
And
if,
you know, you may not get all the calls, you may not get all the bounces, but if you play your best, you can walk away knowing you did your job. UCLA played their best. They were 14-point underdogs. They weren't even supposed to be in it. And for them to, I've I was super proud of them. I wasn't even mad after that loss. And I know a lot of UCLA fans would feel the same way. Why would you want to walk away from the Final Four saying, ah, we laid an egg? What's that? They feel good about the way they played.
They will not. They will be haunted by that. They will see that Jalen Suggs shot in their brains and their nightmares for the rest of their lives.
All right. Jorge found the Adam Morrison call.
Okay, good,
he's the guy in the background. So, again, Adam Morrison, former Laker, former Gonzaga star, had his heart broken by UCLA in 2006, and he was on the radio call on Saturday when Suggs hit the shot. Here it is.
To the right side of the floor, defended by Kispert now. Drives, leans in, the runner comes up short. Choosing the rebounds and puts it in. We're tied at 90. 3 seconds left. Here's Suggs the other way. Pull up three for the win.
Yes! Yes!
Set yes! Of the championship game! He knocked it from 40 at the buzzer!
Yes!
The Bulldogs!
Wow!
Play for a national championship!
His comment was pretty much just screams of jubilation.
Yes, no question. By the way, NBA champion Adam Morrison, right?
Two times. Got two rings.
Yeah.
Lindsay, see if you can track him down. He'd be fun to talk to.
Oh, he would be great to talk to, yeah. Coming up next to you, for you, John, what is your cultural blind spot? Your cultural blind spot.
Oh, I got a bunch of them.
Okay, we'll do that. Coming up next for you, Mesa and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
All right, Mason in Ireland, show rolls on. We've been talking a lot about UCLA and their loss. Reminder, the championship game is tonight. So Gonzaga against Baylor, we're going to have that for you at 6 o'clock on ESPN LA. This is probably the championship game that most people put in their brackets. These were the two best teams in the country from day one. Baylor's been great. Gonzaga's been great. Gonzaga is a small favorite. If Baylor wins, it might be the greatest redemption story in college basketball history. We talked a little bit about this at the end of last week, that Baylor, maybe, how long ago was it, Lindsay? Maybe 10 years ago that the program was in shambles, maybe a little longer?
Yeah, because they had the show cause, two of them, I think.
Right.
So it's been about 10 years, yeah.
And what's the name of that documentary you recommended if you want to learn about what happened at Baylor?
It's called Disgraced, and it's on Showtime.
All right, so basically, in a nutshell, Baylor's basketball program imploded. They had a murder. They had a bunch of lies. The coach tried to cover it up. It was as ugly of a story with a college basketball team as you could possibly have. The NCAA looked at it, and they said, to all the players who are on scholarship at Baylor, they looked at it and said, hey, if you guys want to leave and transfer to any other school, you can. And almost all the players did. So they had no basketball program. Scott Drew, the coach at Baylor, who wanted the job, his dad Homer used to be the coach at Valparaiso. Scott came in. He's kind of a religious guy. He came. That's kind of a religious school, Baylor. It's in Waco in the middle of Texas. He came in and said, I can rebuild this to the point where you'll have a great program again. And here he is in the championship game with a legitimate chance to win it. If Gonzaga wins it, they would be the first team to go undefeated from first game to last since Indiana in 1976. That's how long a team has gone undefeated and run the table in the tournament to win the title. A couple other teams have been close. UNLV almost did it 1 year and then lost to Duke in the Final Four. Kentucky almost did it 1 year and then lost to Wisconsin in the Final Four. but no team's been able to do it since Indiana. That was one of Bobby Knight's teams in 1976. But if Baylor wins, or if Gonzaga wins tonight, they'll be the first team to go undefeated from start to finish since that Indiana team. So both, they're compelling stories on both sides. My thought is that Gonzaga may have suffered a huge blow when they almost lost to UCLA on Saturday. And I actually like Baylor tonight. Lindsay, who do you think is going to win?
I'm going to pick Baylor. I feel like this is the game that everybody wanted, but I'm going to go with Baylor because I feel like it's a good story. And I just feel like they're kind of, I don't know, it just seems like when they have those little extra set of circumstances working against them, like everyone expects Gonzaga to win. So I'm going to go with Baylor.
Yeah, I think Baylor probably, if you watched them play against Houston, they were just dominant start to finish. And Houston had a really good team this year, and Baylor made them look pedestrian. I think Baylor can play fast. I think they can play slow. UCLA, the way UCLA gave Gonzaga a game was that they played really slow. But every time the scoring went up, you know, they scored 90 points, UCLA did, and ended up losing 93-90 in overtime. So when the scoring picked up, they did. But if you watch that whole UCLA game, they basically walked the ball up the floor. Tiger Campbell walked the ball across half court, and UCLA made several passes before they even attempted a shot. And now if you're, you know, a UCLA fan like me, you just wait and see if Juzang is going to go pro. I think he may have played his way into the NBA in this tournament. At the start of the tournament, I didn't know if UCLA had an NBA player. And not only did Juzang prove he can play at the next level, he might have played himself into the first round of the draft. So the question is whether or not he gets an agent and turns pro, or if he comes back next year. And if he comes back next year, that team had no seniors. UCLA had no seniors at all. And so they bring everybody back and would be among the favorites to win the title. By the way, Lindsay, did you watch the women's final last night?
I did not.
Great game.
I was rooting for Stanford because of Ramona, so I saw everything on Twitter, but I didn't watch the game. I was too busy watching movies.
Stanford beat Arizona by 1 point. And the Arizona story was interesting in that the coach of the Arizona team was somebody who had a baby like 2 months ago, and she was actually breastfeeding at halftime in the locker room. And she came back. Her husband is one of the assistants on the roster. And that team looked like, Stanford looked like they knocked him out probably four different times. This coach, her name is Adia Barnes. And she had an interesting moment leading up into it. She got caught on camera giving the middle finger, giving a speech to her team and using the F word a couple of times and giving a middle finger. And the whole thing got caught on camera. And so she went to do her post-game press conference, and she basically said, she was asked, do you want to apologize? You got caught giving the middle finger and saying the F word a bunch of times when you were talking to your team. And she said, no, I'm not going to apologize. That's always the way I talk. And it was weird. The story kind of turned towards her rather than away from her. People were proud of her for, like, owning up to who she is. And so she didn't apologize. And then last night, her team's down 10 with 4 minutes to go, and they come roaring back. They come back, get the game within 1 point, and then with the game on the line right towards the end, they just couldn't come up with a game-winning shot. But it was a really cool story for women's basketball. They, you know, Arizona, it was weird. Lindsay, did you see that story where Arizona got left out of the hype video?
Yep. The NCAA made the hype video and totally forgot to put them in it. And everyone realized the day of, like, or the day before the semifinals, what's going on here? Where's Arizona? So, yeah, that was pretty funny.
And by the way, who are the bozos that are running women's basketball? First, they forget to give the women a weight room, and they give them a rack of dumbbells in an empty hotel ballroom, and they have to fix that. And then four teams make the Final Four. How difficult is it to include four teams in a hype video? I mean, really? You can't put all four teams in a hype video?
Hey, I'm back.
What, are you going on vacation during the show now?
I don't know. We're apparently having spotty internet connections in my neighborhood, so it's back now. It's not like that time I unplugged the machine by accident.
I think that's probably exactly what happened.
It absolutely was not.
So while you were gone, I told the story you would be proud of. Did you hear the story of this woman, Adia Barnes, the basketball coach at Arizona?
No.
So in the semifinal game, they lost in the title game by one to Stanford last night.
To Stanford, right.
But after the semifinal game, this is your kind of gal. She got caught using her middle finger and basically telling anybody who questioned Arizona to F off. And she used the F word several times. So she gets to the post-game press conference, and one of the reporters goes, I don't know if you know this, but ESPN caught you using the F word and using the middle finger while you were talking to your team. Do you want to apologize for that? And she said, no, I'm not apologizing for that. That's how I always talk to my team. And she goes, I'll tell you exactly what I was telling them, that anybody who left us out of the hype video, forgot about us, or didn't respect us can F off. And that's exactly what I told my team. F those guys who didn't think we were dead.
Who's she flipping the middle finger at? The NCAA officials?
The NCAA and anybody who doubted that they would get there. The NCAA put together a hype video for the Final Four, and they only included three of the teams. They left Arizona out of it. So then she gets to her post-game presser, and we've got it. She was asked, do you want to apologize for using your middle finger and telling all those people who doubted you to F off? And here's what she said.
I'm just myself. I don't really think of, like, it's not, there is no strategy to it. There isn't no, plan to be a certain way. It's just, I just do what I feel, I guess. Which is good and bad, because you saw at the end of the game, I honestly had a moment with my team, and I thought it was like a more intimate huddle, and I said to my team something that I truly felt, and I know they felt, and it just like appeared different on TV, but I'm not apologizing for it, because I don't feel like I need to apologize. It's what I felt with my team at the moment, and it's, I wouldn't take it back. We've gone to war together, we look around the room, and we looked around that circle, we believe in each other, so I'm in those moments, and that's how I am, so I don't apologize for doing that. But I'm just me, and I have to just be me.
And
good for
Mace,
her.
By the
it
way,
is so refreshing to not hear an apology in that situation.
When that went viral, when that moment went viral, and then her apology went viral, the overwhelming majority of people in the country lined up behind her for that.
Yeah.
And the comments from parents were like, I would send my daughter to play for her in a heartbeat. And if you look at that clip when she was in the huddle, she's like, got her middle finger going, and she's like, F anybody who didn't put us in the hype video. F anybody who didn't think we'd be here. It's us against the world. F those guys. And she didn't know it, but there was a camera, an ESPN camera on
her
that caught all of it. And so when they said, do you want to apologize for it? That's what she said, which
nope.
I thought was great.
Good. I'm glad. Good for her. I watched the end of the game. It was a good game. It got close.
They almost stole it. They just missed a shot at the end, and Stanford won it.
Coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Linz is going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And it's that part of the show where Lindsay throws a bunch of stuff at us. Lindsay, what do you got?
All right, guys. I'm going to start off with an NFT jeweler.
Okay.
Which, you know, the NFT stands for
non-fungible token.
Yep. And the jeweler's name is Gambit VVS on Twitter. This guy designed an Ethereum blockchain. That's what he's calling it. To display digital collectibles such as NBA Top Shots. Or I don't know if you guys saw Snoop Dogg's cool NFTs that he dropped over the weekend selling for $25,000. I retweeted what it is on my Twitter, Lindsay Baseball, and then I also just sent it to you guys. Want to know if you own some NFTs, which I know that you do now, Mace. You have a pack of Top Shot cards.
Yes, I
would do. Would you ever wear this necklace to display your NFT? Swipe left or swipe right?
Question before we answer. How expensive is the necklace?
I don't know. He doesn't have a price on it. I can find out.
So you're wearing an NFT of a necklace?
Yeah, look at the text that Lindsay just sent you.
It's a necklace, and it's got like a screen on it, and you can program it to display your digital tokens.
Yeah, it's about the size, Lindsay, maybe a little smaller than a playing card, wouldn't you say? It's like a video screen that's
like
about
an Apple Watch,
big.
Right? Something like that?
Yeah, it's like it's like the size of an Apple Watch. And they also have a watch version too, I guess, besides the necklace.
Yeah, I don't understand NFTs, so I would probably be out on this, but I think it could make money. A lot of people seem to be going down the NFT rabbit hole. So
I'm not wearing one of the. I would feel like Flavor Flav wearing that thing. It's gigantic.
Now I would wear
Does
a Flavor
that thing
Flav.
Tell time?
I would wear a Flavor Flav clock, but I would not wear this.
It's about the size of a Flavor Flav clock. I mean, I'm not.
No, it's
I'm not.
Not.
Doing that.
It's Flavor not that big. Flav. It's like the size of the like John said. It's like the size of an Apple Watch.
Yeah, I would not wear this. I understand the non-fungible token thing, and I'm starting to understand. I'm not going to buy into every single one that comes along. Like, for example, I feel comfortable with the NBA one because I know it's backed out. It's backed by the NBA and the NBA Players Association. I think that's going to stand. I don't know what is backing Snoop's NFT or these jewelry NFTs or anything like that. I understand Top Shots. I know Bitcoin uses blockchain. But I'm not yet going down every little NFT rabbit hole, including this one.
Well, this one, the necklace itself isn't an NFT because a necklace is a very fungible token.
Correct.
It's a necklace. It has a screen, and you just program it to put your Top Shots on it.
Yeah, cannot imagine wearing that thing around.
By the way,
looking like the white Flavor Flav.
I saw Snoop Dogg's NFTs that he dropped because, you know, Snoop texted me. I know it's not the real Snoop, but I'm on some kind of text list where he pretends to be him. And it said, like, for shizzle dizzle, I dropped my NFTs today. And so I had to click on it. And it said, what up, y'all? Just dropped my NFTs yesterday. I couldn't help but notice that they're $25,000 for some pretty average artwork. It's like an animated – one of them is like an animated roach, I guess he calls it, in his ashtray, and it just kind of like moves around. It's like a little cartoon animated thing that I don't really get it. I don't see why somebody would pay $25,000 for that.
All right, what's next?
I'll have to send it to you guys so you can comment on it further. All right, Hollywood's most exclusive private club, San Vicente Bungalows, is cracking down on leaks from inside its walls after a guest dared to tip off photographers that Justin Bieber and his wife Hailey Baldwin were at the hotspot last week. The club has a strict privacy rule against cell phones and taking photos.
Yep.
And the club put out an April newsletter and revealed that it had to terminate a member who blabbed about Bieber. Along with a picture of the pop star and his wife exiting the property, the newsletter warned, "The photo below was circulated online earlier this week. Within less than 24 hours, our team discovered whose guest was responsible of alerting the paparazzi. The member who brought this guest to our club has now been terminated." Okay, I didn't know this was really a thing. Do you guys know anyone who belongs to any of these exclusive clubs? Swipe left or swipe right?
Yeah, I know some people, but I can tell you this. 90% of the time, I also know some people that kind of live in the paparazzi world. 90% of the time when they get tipped, they're being tipped by people that work there. In other words, the valet parking guys,
or
the
by
waiters,
the way, John, or the person that is being photographed. I mean, when some of these people go places, they want to be seen, right?
Correct. And like the Kardashians have publicists. And all of a sudden, these guys will get a text saying, all right, Kendall and Kylie are going to Nobu at 6. Those guys aren't out there by accident, all right? They're not out there just waiting on things. They get to, or like, let's say the Kardashians show up at Nobu, the valet parking guys who are not making a lot of money, you know, these paparazzi photographers say, hey, if you text me the next time she comes in, I'll slip you $100.
Yeah.
So it's an easy $100 for them. They can, these private clubs, Lindsay, can say that they're going to crack down on members. But it's 90% of the time, it's not the members who are leaking
the
info.
Right, but inside the club, it was somebody taking pictures of Bieber, right?
Right. So
inside
in this case,
this private club, that person should be busted. That person should be busted out.
In that case, that, you know, more power to them for throwing the member out. But there's private clubs all over the place like that, Lindsay. And I know people that are members.
I'd like to belong
to
a club.
Do you belong to one of them, Ireland?
I do. in Manhattan.
Which, really?
In Manhattan Beach, yeah. It's called the 900 Club. It basically, you pay them an annual fee, and if you can't get a reservation for dinner, they have really good food, or if you just want to go in there for drinks. I took Amanda in there for her birthday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Not this birthday, apart, like 5 years ago, but you know, back
and you got to be rich to get in. They take like your bank statement and stuff.
No, they got me. I was in there playing in a charity poker tournament and right. I won the whole tournament. And these guys, I was getting unbelievable cards. So these guys kept handing me shots. So I was pretty hammered when the guy comes up to me and goes, "You should be a member here." And then I, you know,
and you were drunk and said, "Here's my credit card."
Lindsay, literally exactly that happened. I go, "Yeah, here, take my credit card. I'll join." And
so is it worth it?
Oh yeah, we use it all the time.
Yeah, what's the old Yogi Berra? I would never join a club that would have me.
There you go.
Yeah, that's sort of my slogan. Although I always wondered about that thing called the Jonathan Club. The Jonathan Club sounds fancy.
Yeah, I've been
there
a bunch of times.
What's the Jonathan Club?
I'm not a member there, but I've been there. It's
there's
the most famous
one
is in Santa Monica on the beach.
Yeah, on the beach. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I would love to get in there. That's the one. But
the best reason to be a member at clubs like that is if somebody comes in and says, "Hey, let's go out to dinner," and you don't have reservations or plans, you can go in there and it's great because they're never overcrowded, and you have an account, and you just roll with it.
I want to join the regular guys club.
For Shizzle Dizzle.
Neighboring bar is my club for Shizzle
yeah,
Dizzle.
Mace, you could start a regular guys club. The problem is you would let everyone in it.
Correct. So I would let everybody. It's open membership.
Yeah. That's basically called Tito's Tacos.
Love Tito's Tacos.
Tito's Tacos, do not sleep on. The only thing better than Tito's Tacos is two.
Amen.
All right, speaking of For Shizzle Dizzle.
For Shizzle Dizzle,
Danielle Brigoli, a.k.a. Bad Barbie, however you pronounce it, a.k.a. the Cash Me Outside girl, she continues to cash in on her viral fame. Years after going viral on the Dr. Phil show, Brigoli has become a major influencer on Instagram, and she has 17 million followers. And she's made a name for herself, I guess, as a rapper. I don't know if she's any good or not, though.
Okay.
On Thursday, Bad Barbie, it's like Barbie, but with no R. She started a new business venture by joining the subscription website OnlyFans right after she turned 18, and she's already broken the site's record. According to Brigoli, which she shared these screenshots on Instagram, she made $1 million in only six hours after joining OnlyFans.
Lindsay, are these like naked pictures?
So this was before she even had posted anything other than like a trailer video. She posted a video on her Instagram page, which you're not allowed to be nude on Instagram. So it was just kind of like a, I guess, like a sexy video of her. And it's just like, follow me, subscribe to my channel on OnlyFans type of thing. And that video got all those people to subscribe, netting her $1 million in 6 hours. It's
wow.
Crazy. It's crazy.
That's insane. That's insane.
So if you were no longer on the radio, yeah, would you consider posting content, let's assume this is safe for work content, to a subscription site as a source of income? Swipe left or swipe right.
So you're asking me if I'll do the nude stuff?
No. It can be safe for work, you know? Whether it's OnlyFans or Patreon or one of those subscription sites.
Lindsay, this is where the world is moving. Is that, you know, one thing with information like, you know, I pay for The Athletic.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm happy to pay for The Athletic. It's worth it. It's got great content.
Great content.
But if one of The Athletic writers went rogue, like if Bill Oram went rogue.
Oh, Bill Oram, you know, and he's on the verge of going rogue at any moment.
Or if Sam Amick went rogue.
He's trouble too.
And started BillOram.com. I'd pay for it, yeah. Now, if you're asking would I ever start, like, JohnIreland.com, I don't know. I guess it depends, Mace, what my financial situation was at the time. Do you envision your podcast will always be free?
Yes, I do envision my podcast will always
be free. Have you ever tried to monetize it? Like, do you have sponsors in that podcast?
Actually, I do have sponsors.
So it's not that far removed from
that. No, I mean, that's one of the things I think about a lot is what am I going to do? I mean, not that anything's coming to an end anytime soon, but what am I going to keep doing? Because I'm always going to keep working on something. I don't want to ever be without a show or without a platform or without a – I don't think you care about that.
I don't.
You just want to disappear.
When the ride is over, I think, you can find me on a golf course someplace.
Yeah.
Mace, a lot of podcasters – have their podcasts free on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all that stuff. And then they do what's called a Patreon. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that.
No.
But Patreon is, it's like a subscription service where you can get podcasts, you can get videos, you can get blogs.
Exclusive websites. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have three Patreon subscriptions.
Yeah. I have a couple Patreon subscriptions. One, like, to the true crime podcasts that I love, like Crime Junkie is one of them. And they'll download, or they'll drop extra, like, additional episodes, and you pay like $5 a month or something, and you get additional bonus content. So if you really, really love a podcast that you listen to all the time and you just can't get enough of it, like Crime Junkies for me, I get like two or three extra episodes a month that I listen to for $5.
Let me do a public service announcement for the Venice Mace podcast. So
yes.
When I was driving either to or from the golf course on Saturday for Ireland Travis, Mace, you had reposted the podcast where I interviewed you.
Yes.
And I had never gone back and listened to it after we did it. But I had an hour to kill. It takes an hour to get to Yorba Linda from where I live. And so I listened to it. And man, if you're a fan of this show, if you listen to Mason and Ireland, you should listen to that podcast. I am stunned at how candid we were.
Yeah.
Like, matter of fact, I think if we had to do it over again, there would be four or five things that we would have taken back. But I'm glad we didn't. And
yeah.
I think it's a reward to people that have been with us for a lot of years. We're both just insanely honest. There's nothing in that hour. It's actually longer than an hour.
Yeah, it is. It is.
I warn you in advance, if you're not into the show, you probably won't enjoy it that much. But if you like this show and you listen to it a lot, you'll learn a ton about both of us.
Yeah, no question. Yeah, you can get that, by the way, on iTunes, Spotify. Culture Pop is the name of the podcast. There's one up there. The one that follows you is Jay Leno, who's a fantastic guy. So check that out. Really cool. All right. And there's stuff we wish we would have taken out, you think?
I don't know. We're just like the best part about it was you said to me before that, all right, you have an hour. I literally will answer anything you want. And I said, what's off limits? And you said nothing. And so I went everywhere and you ducked nothing.
Yeah.
There, nothing is ducked on that podcast. So you can find out, I mean, stuff like how and when you told your parents you were gay, which is like incredibly revealing and heartwarming, and stuff where that you admitted that, you know, when you went to New York, what was going through your head, and, you know, where we think the show's going, where our contracts are. It's like, wow, did we really admit all that stuff?
Yeah.
Wait, John,
yeah.
Did you ask him the questions, the unanswerable questions?
I did. And this is all I'll say. If you listen to that podcast, you will be rewarded.
Yes.
Okay. That's, I'm not teasing anything.
There you go.
Other than that, Lindsay, have you ever gone and listened to it?
No, but I'm going to now.
Yeah. Jorge, have you?
No, but I am too.
Okay,
yeah, you'll
so
learn stuff
I will
about
tell
us.
You this: the two of you will learn stuff about each of us that you never knew before, which is pretty amazing because you guys hear us talking all the time.
Exactly.
So there you go, what's the easiest way to get to that thing?
You can go to stevemason.com. You can go to iTunes, Spotify, and search Culture Pop, and it is there.
Okay.
All right. Coming up next for you, Lakers in a rut, man. They win on Friday, but yesterday offensively just incapable of keeping pace with the Clippers. And it was a really strong weekend for the Dodgers. We got some taste, some flavor of what to expect this year. That's all coming up. And plus, on top of everything else, what is your cultural blind spot? I teased that, but we never got to it. What is your cultural blind spot?
Well, you unplugged your Comrex again by kicking the cord, and that's why we never got to it.
Kicked over the plug, exactly. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.